Chapter 6. The Restoration of the Jews. There is nothing more certain from the Word of God than that the Jews, who are now dispersed throughout the world, will be restored to their own land. For he that scattereth Israel will gather him. Jeremiah 31:10. The time of their restoration is not revealed, but inasmuch as they are found in the land soon after the rapture of the saints, it is evident that it will take place about that time. Whether before or after it would be impossible to say, but probably afterwards, because otherwise there would be a visible sign of the Lord's being at hand. A brief reference to God's ways in government on the earth will very much simplify and facilitate our understanding of this subject. We learn from the prophet Daniel that, on the utter failure of Israel as the depositary of God's power in the earth, the dominion was transferred to the Gentiles. Thus, in the interpretation of the great image which Nebuchadnezzar had seen in his dream, Daniel says, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." Daniel 2:37-38. Three empires would follow: the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, and the Roman. And the last of these, disappearing for a time, would finally revive, but be divided into 10 kingdoms, as symbolized by the 10 toes of the image, all of which, however, would be united in a common federation under one supreme head. Daniel 2:31-43, Daniel 7, Revelation 13:17. These empires reach down to the end, but the last is superseded, and indeed destroyed, by the kingdom of Christ. For in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44. See also Revelation 19:11-21 and Revelation 20. Now the period which embraces the whole of these monarchies is termed the times of the Gentiles, during which, according to the words of our Lord, Jerusalem is to be trodden down of the Gentiles, Luke 21:24. The absence of the Jews, therefore, from their own land will coincide, or nearly so, with this period. But God's purposes concerning his ancient people will yet be accomplished, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, Romans 11:29. And hence, together with the completion and rapture of the church, God will commence to deal again with that nation. It is true that a small remnant, mainly composed of the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, Ezra 10:7-9, was permitted to return to Jerusalem during the reign of Cyrus, the account of which we have in Ezra and Nehemiah. But this was in no way a national restoration, nor the full accomplishment of God's purposes, for Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi all prophesied after this period, and speak of the time of the national blessing as yet future. Haggai 2:7-9, Zechariah 9:14, Malachi 3:4. Indeed, from the time of this return until the birth of the Lord, so far from being an independent nation, they were always in subjection to the Gentile power. In such a condition, there was nothing to answer to the glowing prediction of the prophet, "And the sons of the strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually, they shall not be shut, day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those kingdoms shall be utterly wasted." Isaiah 60:10-12. The object indeed of this partial return would seem to have been that Christ might be born among them, according to the predictions of the prophets, and be presented to them as the Messiah. This took place, and the Gospel of Matthew, which especially deals with this subject, gives us in full the results. He was utterly rejected. They chose Barabbas that they might compass the destruction of Christ. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say to him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cry out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. Matthew 27:21-23. In the Gospel of John, their inquiry is, if possible, still more strikingly displayed. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. John 19:15. They thus deliberately renounced the hope and glory of their nation, rejected their Messiah in their wicked desire to secure the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth. And from that day to this, they have been suffering the consequences of their fearful crime as outcasts and a byword among the nations of the earth. But God, whatever the sin of his people, cannot deny himself. And in the death of him whom his ancient people rejected, for he died for that nation, John 11:52, he laid the foundation for their future restoration and blessing. The evidence of this is so abundant that it is difficult to know where to begin or end, but a few scriptures may be selected, leaving our readers to trace out the details at their own leisure. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah 11:11-12. Again we read that the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them, and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. Isaiah 19:1-3. Read also, please see the references in print. The language of Jeremiah is no less distinct. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all the countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Jeremiah 23:5-8. Read especially Jeremiah 30, Jeremiah 31, and Jeremiah 33. There is scarcely a prophet, indeed, that does not touch upon the subject, and in such plain words that, had not Zion been confounded with the church, no one could have doubted of God's intentions toward his ancient people. If, moreover, the testimony of the prophets had been less precise, the argument of Paul in Romans 11 should have sufficed to teach us that he will never forego his purposes of grace and blessing towards the seed of Abraham. For, after showing that God hath not cast away his people, Israel, he says, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall take away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Verses 25-27. Two things indeed are clear from this scripture, that blessing is reserved for Israel, and that their deliverer shall come out of Zion, showing that they must be in their own land previously to the blessing here described. There are, however, several stages in their restoration before this full result spoken of by Paul is reached. A portion will return to Palestine in unbelief. This is certain from the fact that Zechariah describes their conversion in the land by the appearing of the Lord. Please see the references in print. While in their unbelief they will build a temple and seek to restore their sacrificial services, and thus will pave the way for the setting up by the Antichrist of the abomination of desolation in the holy place, of which our Lord forewarned his disciples. Matthew 24:15. See also Revelation 11:1-2, Isaiah 66:1-6. There will be, however, a remnant in the midst of their unbelieving brethren who will stay themselves upon God, who, not knowing their Messiah, will cry to the Lord in their distress and will be preserved from the abominations into which the mass of the nation will fall. These are the elect remnant whose experiences are so largely developed in the Psalms and in some of the prophets. The restoration of the 10 tribes will be effected after the Lord has taken his kingdom. Inasmuch as they had no part in the rejection and crucifixion of Christ, although they will be judged for their own sins, they will be spared the fearful and peculiar trials through which their brethren will have to pass in consequence of their acceptance of and connection with the Antichrist. It is therefore not until after the return of Christ that he will bring to light and restore this long-lost portion of his people. Ezekiel describes the method of their restoration. "As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, and with a stretched-out arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from my people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered, with a mighty hand, and with a stretched-out arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there I will plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord." The rest are brought. And the prophet proceeds, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers." Ezekiel 20:33-44. Also Ezekiel 34. Jeremiah goes farther and describes their coming into the land in language of singular beauty and pathos. "For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, Sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." Then he proceeds to declare still further the purpose of the Lord concerning his people and their consequent heritage of joy. "Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them, and I will make them rejoice from their sorrow, and I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord." Jeremiah 31:6-14. The 10 tribes thus brought back We are told, moreover, that they will be united together with Judah under the happy and glorious sway of their Messiah, that they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more, and that God's servant, David, the true David, Christ, shall be their prince forever. Ezekiel 37:21-28. We thus see that God has not forgotten his covenant with Abraham, Genesis 17:4-8. For while Israel failed in responsibility and forfeited all claim upon God, he yet in faithfulness to his own word, in the wonders of his grace, will perform all that he has spoken. And the time draws near when Israel, once again restored to their own land, shall blossom and bud, and fill the face of the world with fruit. Isaiah 27:6. For thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob, and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be the rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return, and have mercy on them.